Good evening, children. It is quite interesting how today's lesson is gonna be simply an audio recording. It is unfortunate that I can't have this lesson with you face-to-face with colorful pictures and the background music, but thank God we do have the technology today that allows me to record this and to share with each and one of you. Today's lesson is something that I call a competition. A competition that we see in the Old Testament, and specifically the competition between God of Israel, the one and almighty God, and the God of Egyptians, the gods of the Pharaoh. The competition that shows who actually has all the power. After Pharaoh didn't listen, God began to send plagues on the land of Egypt. One by one, each plague was designed to show off God's power. The first plague was turning the Nile River into blood. Now that sounds bad enough, doesn't it? But wait until you hear this. When we think of turning the river into blood, that sounds a little bit gross, right? The difference for Pharaoh was it was his only source of water for everything that he did. So if you think about drinking water, came from the Nile River. Taking a bath, came from the Nile River. Every part of the life required water, meaning going to the Nile River. Can you imagine taking a bath in a bunch of blood? Yeah, that just sounds gross. But there's one more thing I think you would want to know. God wasn't just sending random plagues. He didn't just randomly choose to make the Nile River gross. He was showing the power over the gods of Egypt, including the Nile River God. The people of Egypt worshipped Hapi, as in H-A-P-I, Hapi. Hapi was the god of a Nile River. That's right, the Egyptians had made up a god that ruled over the Nile River. They even came up with a song for their god. They had a hymn for a Nile River god. It said, "Hail to you, O Nile. You have shown yourself to the land, coming in pace, giving life to Egypt." And with these kind of songs, Pharaoh and the Egyptians worshipped and trusted the Nile River God instead of the God in heaven. They trusted and worshipped a God someone had made up. Now it takes a little more sense to us why God turned Nile River into blood. He was proving his power over Hapi, the god who was supposed to be the god of Nile River. But we all know that Egyptians could have prayed all they want to Hapi. They could have worshipped all they wanted to Hapi. But God commanded the water in the Nile River to be blood, and it remained blood. Now God sent a total of 10 plagues on Egypt. Each plague designed to prove his power over one of the Egyptian gods. Do any of you remember what was the second plague? And how some of you might have answered correctly? It is frogs. God sent frogs to cover the ground. When you looked down, all you saw was tons and tons of frogs. And guess what? The Egyptians had frog god named Heket. How silly does that sound? A frog god. It's simply sad to think that they were worshipping and trusting in a frog god instead of trusting in a god of heaven. And like I said, in all there were 10 plagues that God sent on Egypt, each one to prove his power over the Egyptian gods. Some of the other plagues include lice and flies and boils, hail and fire, and dead animals. This was not pleasant stuff. I wanted to tell you about one other plague before we finish it up today. The ninth plague. Any of you remember what the ninth plague was? This was the plague that was before the plague of death of every firstborn. The plague of darkness. In Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 through 23, God tells Moses to stretch out his hand over to Egypt. And when Moses did that, darkness covered Egypt for 3 straight days. Now, in our words today, this would probably be one of the worst things possible. Just imagine, turn the lights off in the room right now. If you're able to see a hand in front of your face, this is not what this scripture is talking about. When Moses stretched his hand over to Egypt and the darkness came upon Egypt for 3 days, people were not able to see the hand in front of the face for 3 days. But do you know what God was doing? God was directly challenging Pharaoh. You see, Egyptians believed that the Pharaoh was family member of the god Ra, who was the god of the sun in Egyptian mythology. It's like God was saying to Pharaoh, "You think you're powerful? You think that you are a relative of this sun god? Let me show you who is the real sun god is." The plague of darkness was direct challenge to the Pharaoh himself. And Pharaoh could do nothing to stop it. With this being the ninth plague in the Egypt, Pharaoh had to start questioning certain things. This is the point where the biggest god of Egyptian mythology was being under question. Because Ra was considered the highest god amongst all Egyptian gods. And if even right now with darkness being going on for 3 days, Pharaoh started to question his own gods. You see, all of you Egyptians trusted in gods someone had made up for them. They trusted in the ideas and the people. And as we know, those ideas and the people that came up with those ideas let all the Egyptians down. In the end, God won the competition. And all the gods that were created by the people were just a myth. It was just an idea. See, today, the world will force you to believe that you have to compete. The world will make you think that you have to be the strongest, you have to be the fastest, the smartest, the most successful person to be successful in this world. And in some sense, that is true. The only thing is, you can be successful in this world and you can gain the whole world, but you will lose your soul, as the Bible teaches us. And to finish up the lesson for today, I would like to read the well-known scripture in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life." Now, what a promise that is. Anyone who believes in Jesus Christ will not perish, but have an everlasting life. What an amazing promise. And with that, I would like to end this lesson with a moment of prayer. Let us bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for sustaining our lives till this moment. We thank you, Father, for everything that is happening in this world. And we thank you that you are in control of it all. Lord, as we spend this time together in our families, I thank you that we are able to have more time together. And even though we can't see each other, I thank you for the technology that we have, that we can still fellowship with each other Lord, thank you so much. I pray that you bless us as we continue every single day going forward. Bless us to seek you more, Lord, and to get to know you more through the scriptures. Father, I thank you so much for each and every child that we have in our church, and I pray that your blessings will be upon them. Father, thank you so much for giving me the desire to continue on with these lessons and to share your wonderful word with the kids. Thank you so much, Lord, and blessed be your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.